I am Barbara Joyce, and in our study today, we're going to take a look at a model for young people. So many times we limit our teaching to the young people in classes and gatherings of this sort, and very seldom ever preach sermons from the pulpit directed to the young people. I think this is a mistake. In 3 John 11, we have these words: Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. If we would be of God and do good and follow that which is good, we need to select and set before us the best model we can find in the Bible. God has given us the picture of some great men. But to me, one of the greatest is young Joseph. Every young person would do well to let Joseph pose as his model. The more we read about Joseph, the more we admire this man. And Pharaoh once said unto him, Can we find such an one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? In Genesis 41 and verse 38. Other than in the person of Christ, I wonder where you would find such a person as Joseph. We can learn so much from a study of his life. Never was a story portrayed on the screen or told in a book that has been more thrilling than the story of Joseph's life. He and his experiences that he had were varied, and his circumstances took him from one extreme to another. One moment he is petted by a partial father. The next moment he is sold into slavery by his envious brothers. And circumstance-wise, he has been brought from the top to the bottom. But even in slavery, we see him rise to the top again. And he is then falsely accused and thrown into prison. Once again, he's on the bottom. But from the prison, he emerges to become the prime minister of the country of Egypt. What a variety of experiences this man had. But through the circumstances that befell him, and that the circumstances were constantly changing, it seems, his character never seemed to change. Can you find such an one as this? The Spirit of God surely dwelled in this man. What an example of great living. What a model to pattern a life by. Let us observe just what an example he can be to young people today. The Lord said, Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. In Joseph, we can certainly find that which is good to follow. Let's take a look at an example of obedience to parents, first of all. Can we find in Joseph's home life that which is good to follow? I suppose Christianity is lived less at home than anywhere else in the world. Let us observe Joseph's behavior in the home. What kind of child was he? How did he regard his parents? Was he obedient? What kind of example was he in the home? Joseph seemed to have the utmost regard for his parents. He seemed to be very obedient. It is in the home life that foundation is laid even this day. It is in the home attitudes are formed and character is shaped. To end up right, we must start out right. And the place to start out right is in the home. The home is the boot camp for life's basic training. So much depends upon that training. When in the home there is a lack of respect for parents, something is wrong. Joseph had that respect and seemed willing to do whatever his father asked him to do. There were times when he might have questioned his father, but there is no indication of it expressed. His father once asked him to go to Shechem to find his brothers how they were getting along and with their flocks and that they were tending. And this was asking a lot of a boy, for Joseph could have recalled bitter feelings his brother had toward him, and they were envious of him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Knowing how jealous his brothers were of him, he could have rebelled and offered all kinds of excuses, but he didn't do that. His father had asked him to go, and he was willing to do it. Joseph never seemed to question his father's wisdom. He probably never entertained the thought that his father might be asking too much of him, and he loved his father and believed in his father. He shouldered whatever responsibility his father placed upon him, for he believed his father knew best. What an example for our young people today. Didn't the Lord say, "Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right"? Didn't he also say, "Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise, Ephesians 6, 1 and 2? God has always taught children to obey parents. Disobedience to parents is classed among the worst of evils, Romans 1, 28-32. Children must realize that they can be lost for this. And I beg of you to let Joseph become your model in love and respect and that you ought to have for your parents. Let's look at an example of the withstanding the last test. He's very good at this. Life has its tests even today, and some of them are not easy to meet. Difficulties will arise, and if we aren't careful, we will be upset by them. But when we take a look at Joseph, like all others, had his problems to wrestle with, and when we see how he handled these problems, we are constrained to ask the same question Pharaoh asked. Can we find such an one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? He was tested by being envied. This is hard to deal with. Joseph's father was partial to him and had made him a coat of many colors. This caused his brethren to be envious of him, and here is the real test. Have you ever been envied by someone else? Have you ever occupied the spotlight that someone else wanted to occupy? Some would have become vain through this, but not Joseph. He seemed to have conducted himself in the very best possible manner. He was able to withstand this real test. He was also tested by being mistreated. Envy will seek to get rid of the object of its envy. This is what happened in the case at hand. Parental partiality brought on brotherly hatred. And in Genesis 37, 3 and 4, this hatred caused Joseph's brethren to think of killing him. And when the occasion arose, they stripped him of his coat of many colors and cast him into an empty pit without water. Later, they sold him to the Ishmaelites, and they in turn sold him to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's. What mistreatment this boy endured. This was a real test. But there seemed to be no animosity on Joseph's part. He relied completely upon God and was able to withstand this test. He was tested by being sent away from home. This very young boy was taken all the way to Egypt, many miles from his home. No doubt he became homesick. Life seemed so cruel to him. And how would he react away from home? Would he become cynical? Would he be soured on life? Would he give up trying to be good anymore? Not Joseph. For he was of sterling character. Circumstances could change, but not his character. What he was in Jacob's house, he was in Potiphar's house. What he was at home, he was on the throne. What he was in prison, he was in the palace. Joseph never sacrificed principle for popularity, nor faith for favor. Also, Joseph was tested by temptation. time came when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. Potiphar was away from home. Joseph was also away from his home with his parents. Would anyone there know the difference if he yielded to this temptation? Many a boy away from home has fallen under such circumstances, but not Joseph. When he was tempted, he answered, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Genesis 39, verse 9. He fled from the temptress, for his purity was at stake. He would not dare sacrifice that. But what an example this boy is. Again, he was tested by being falsely accused. When Joseph refused to yield to the temptress, she insulted and tried to get even with him. She tried to turn the blame on Joseph and called unto some of the men of the house and said that he had tried to tempt her. This was false accusation. The men believed her report and put Joseph in prison. What a bad break this was. How painful it is to be falsely accused and then suffer for it too. The odds were against Joseph, but he turned these odds into opportunities. Joseph was tested through the forgetfulness of another. While in prison, he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker. According to his interpretation, the butler was released from prison, but the chief baker was to be put to death. Joseph asked the butler to remember him when he was set free. But, as you may have already guessed, the butler forgot. Have you ever been forgotten? If so, you can understand the unpleasantness that could lead to retaliation. This was not so in Joseph's case. He showed no resentment and no bitterness. He was able to withstand the test. Also, Joseph was tested by success. He was finally released from prison, and God enabled him to interpret dreams, and through his interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams, he had opportunity to rise again. God's providence was at work. Through the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream, Joseph had told Pharaoh of 7 years of famine that would follow after 7 years of plenty. In view of that, Joseph suggested Pharaoh that someone be appointed over the land to take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of the plenty that they might have it when the famine came. The Bible says, "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Genesis 41, 37, and 38. Joseph was selected for this position that he suggested, and he became the prime minister of Egypt. What an honor. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." Pharaoh then took off his ring and put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in a vesture of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." The Bible says, "And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Genesis 41:46. What a position for a young man. He was next to Pharaoh. He had authority, prosperity, he had honor, he was popular, and he had fame. But these can be real tests. Some will let authority go to their heads, and some cannot stand prosperity. Some will let honor make a fool of them, and this was not true in Joseph's case. With all of these things at his command, he exemplified true humility and great godliness. was a model of trustworthiness. There were times when the odds were against Joseph, but there were times when he seemed to get the right breaks. How do you account for these so-called breaks? For instance, even as a slave boy, he was given charge of Potiphar's house. Why? After he was falsely accused and placed in prison, he was later given charge of all other prisoners. But why? One of the greatest breaks of all was when he was promoted to be Prime Minister of Egypt. How did this happen? There must be a reason. Things don't just happen. Someone has to make them happen. In Joseph's case, it was not luck, and coincidentally, or just breaks, but it was the trustworthiness of Joseph that made all these things possible. He could always be depended on. God saw to it that our quality should not go unnoticed. There were times when one might question whether or not it paid for Joseph to remain holy and pure. It seemed so unfair that his cruel brothers should go free while he remained in slavery. It seemed so unfair that his evil temptress could live in luxury while he had to stay in prison. But the Bible says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them who are the called according to his purpose. In Romans 8, verse 28. Joseph loved the Lord, and all things work together for his good. The prison became a springboard that landed him in the prime minister's seat. The ladder down into the dungeon led to the throne. Beloved, it always pays to remain holy and pure. Every shadow points to light, and the shadows across Joseph's path pointed to great heights in his life. And in him we have one of the greatest examples of forgiveness that can be found. Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold by his brothers. He was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. The 7 years had passed and 2 years of famine before he was made known to his brethren. This means that 22 years had passed since Joseph had been so unmercifully mistreated by his brothers. Time came when these same boys came to Egypt to buy corn and to buy other things that they need, and so they had to reckon with Joseph, whom they had formerly mistreated. At last he was made known to them. No doubt they had wondered many times what happened to him. The famine has come, and they must now bow before Joseph, the prime minister, unto whom they had come to buy food. Now, that they and Joseph were made known to each other, how would Joseph react? What would be his feeling toward them? Would he try to get even? No doubt their conscience had smitten them numerous times for their mistreatment of Joseph, and Joseph now has every advantage over them and could make them pay for their mistreatment. But instead of retaliating, Joseph said to them, "Fear not, for I am not in the place of God. You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." In Genesis 50, verses 19 and 20. With Joseph, there was no grudge, no retaliation, no resentment. How forgiving he was. Let me mention that truth crushed to earth will rise again. Joseph's brothers were sent back to their father to tell him that he was still alive and that provision had been made for him and his family to move to Egypt to be with Joseph. the real truth concerning what happened to Joseph had for 22 years been crushed to earth, but at last, the truth rose again. And you remember the passage in Numbers 32 and verse 23, where Moses says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." The sin of Joseph's brothers did find them out, and our sins will certainly find us out. We cannot hide anything from God. That being the case, we are told, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Ecclesiastes 12:1. Joseph remembered his Creator in the days of his youth, and he was greatly rewarded for it. As Joseph looked back upon his life, don't you know that he was happy that he'd always been faithful to God? Through the years, he had been an example in obedience to his parents in withstanding life's test, in purity, in trustworthiness, in forgiveness. This man could go to his grave with no remorse. May that be true in your case as well. Well, Joseph is an example to you. May you be an example to others as God asks you to do so. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, "Be thou an example of the believers," we are taught. To do so, you will need to become a Christian. And I beg you to do this early in life. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." You must have faith in God. You must repent of your sins. You must confess His name before men and be buried with Him by baptism for the remission of your sins. You must then live a faithful, devoted Christian life. May I appeal to all young people to seek the Lord early in life and to follow Him faithfully, as did Joseph. And then you have the assurance of one who cannot lie, that heaven will be your home. I'm Bernard Joins, and we thank you for listening to the broadcast today.